either reserve. You're listening to Leaders.com.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah wa kafa. Wa salamun ala ibadihi allazina istafa. Amma ba'd. Fa'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. ذلك ليعلم أني لم أخنه بالغيب وأن الله لا يهدي كيد الخائنين صدق الله العظيم سبحان ربك رب العزة أما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد مبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد مبارك وسلم Honorable brothers in Islam, mothers and sisters listening at home, Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wassalam had put forward a condition that he was not willing to exit the prison until the women and their matter was resolved. And so he said, مَا بَالُ النِّسْوَةِ اللَّاتِي قَطَّعْنَ أَيْدِيَهُنَّ, that first if you can inquire and find out as to what has happened to the women that had cut their hands when they saw me. And so these conditions were put in front of the king for clarity, and clarity was actually given to Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. He personally looked into the situation. The governor's wife was there. All the women of Egypt were also there. So clarity was given. And so in the verse that I have just read in front of you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has explained the reason why Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam put forward these conditions. So Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam said, ذَلِكَ لِيَعْلَمَ أَنِّي لَمْ أَخُنْهُ بِالْغَيْبِ. Number one, the reason I want clarity is so that the minister would know that in his absence I have not betrayed him. In his absence I have not betrayed him. This is something that is very, very important. Because the minister is a minister, he is busy all the time. The wife is at home and Yusuf alayhi salam is a slave to them and he has to do all the works. And Yusuf alayhi salam was very handsome. And so Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam wanted to make sure that this governor, who was a good governor, the minister, who looked after him all the time, so he wanted to make sure that there is clarity in understanding, so that news is also given to him that there was no betrayal on my behalf in your absence. That is why when the husband is out of the house, the wife needs to look after herself. What is it? The wife needs to look after herself. Chastity is very, very important. In the hadith it comes, do not allow that person to enter your room with whom your husband may not be comfortable. With whom your husband may not be comfortable. All of these rules and regulations that are put in front of us is so that Alhamdulillah, we can have the right relationship so that there is always love between individuals. And so betrayal, we see from this ayat-e-kareema, is a grave sin. The highest form of betrayal in Islam is to betray Allah, your creator, and the messengers, prophets who have come. To turn away from your creator and to turn away from the message that your creator wants to give you via the platform of revelation and the messengers, to turn away from them, this is considered to be the highest form of betrayal. Highest form of betrayal. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us. And then of course you have another form of betrayal, which is to betray a person of iman. That also is a sin. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from betrayal, from treachery. All of these things are un-Islamic. If somebody has put you in that position of trust, mashallah, we are not to breach, we are not to betray anyone. And then the second reason the Quran says, وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَهْدِي كَيْدَ الْخَائِنِينَ. And Yusuf alayhi salam then said, secondly, one must know that Allah does not allow the betrayer to progress. Allah does not allow the betrayer to progress in life. La yahdi kaid al khainin. And so Yusuf alayhi salatu wa salam was making it very clear here that he was the Nabi, and there is every possibility Allah will have revealed to him that you will come out and you will be given a position, that you will be the minister of finance. And very kindly, brothers, no recording here, inshallah. No recording of mobile phones, please. And Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu was salam said that Allah does not give guidance to that person who betrays. And so what he was trying to tell people is that you will find many people who are given a position in life and they become people of power, and they also have corruption with them as they are given the power. So they are people who commit sins. They are people who commit sins. So what the Quran is saying, one day your wrong will catch up with you. It may take 1 year, it may take 2 years, it may take 3 years, 4 years. But the corruption that you do, the wrong that you do, it will eventually get to you. And so Yusuf alayhi salatu was salam wanted complete clarity that if I come out from the prison and if I am to be put into a position, people need to know that if I am going to be the minister, I am that minister who has not committed any sins, who has not done any wrong. I have not done any wrong. Unfortunately today, my respected brothers and elders, the corruption in this dunya is such that if you are truthful and if you have a very clean slate, they will say to you, I am sorry, you know what, you can't become a politician because you are very truthful. That is the world that we live in. You know, this position is not for you. This position is not for you. You have to be a thug. You have to be a thug. You have to be, you know, one from what we will say, you know, the mafia that is out there, that can kill anybody, that can create, you know, a genocide, that is prepared for assassinations and things like that. Only then you will have that leadership, only then you can be a prime individual. Otherwise, the more truthful you are, you really can't run the show. Why? Because the vast majority of the people are like that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us. Because of kufr, they don't realize the values of good character. They don't realize the value of life. Tony Blair, for an example, on the false pretext of Iraq acquiring weapons of mass destruction, has killed thousands and thousands and thousands of innocent people in Iraq, women and children. And now you run around everywhere and are apologizing and hoping that maybe Jesus Christ will forgive you one day being a Christian or whatever. And also Narendra Modi. Narendra Modi, a thug. And when you look at people, this is what the Quran says, that وَإِذَا رَأَيْتَهُمْ تُعْجِبُكَ أَجْسَامُهُمْ. Such are the hypocrites that when you look at them, how they dress up, the way they dress up, and when you see him, how he comes and he walks down from Air India when he lands in France, and how he is, how he dresses up. وَإِذَا رَأَيْتَهُمْ تُعْجِبُكَ أَجْسَامُهُمْ. That a person wants to respect him, and a person will say he's a good individual. تُعْجِبُكَ أَجْسَامُهُمْ وَإِنْ يَقُولُوا تَسْمَعْ لِقَوْلِهِمْ. And when they speak, it is as if you have to listen to me what I am going to speak. So these are the people that have become the leaders. This is what Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam has said. One of the signs of the day of Qiyamah is Luqa ibn Luqa. An evil person will succeed an evil person. An evil person will succeed an evil person. And so Yusuf alayhi salam, because he knew he was going to be a minister, so he made sure that there is complete clarity. So when I am in that position, nobody must ever think that, you know what, possibly I have committed an act of infidelity, or I have committed an act of immorality, or I have committed some kind of a sin. Nobody must think like that, because I am innocent and I have done nothing of the sort. And when somebody is a leader like that, then subhanallah, Allah's nusrat and Allah's madad is with such people. And so, in Jumu'ah, I did want to actually talk about this subject. I am going to finish off these few ayats of Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. But perhaps it's important for us that we also have some understanding and awareness. So this man Modi, he was the member of the RSS. The RSS, of course, was an organization that was created to promote the Hindutva ideology. The Hindutva ideology, the extreme right-wing Hindu understanding. So to slowly promote that in India. And in fact, that is why you will find that the RSS was also banned for a few times. So for an example, during the time of Mahatma Gandhi. Mahatma Gandhi was a peaceful man. We won't go into his whole life, but what the people know him to be, that he was a peaceful man. And they used to call him Bapu, you know, the father of that Indian nation. By profession, he was a lawyer, a solicitor in South Africa. Certain things that had happened, and then he came back. And then he had also a lot of support of the Muslims that were there. But he was a man who was promoting peace in India. And he said that India is for everybody, for the Muslims, for the Sikhs, for the Christians, for the Hindus, for everybody. And we should live peacefully and we should not divide. And this was the motto of Mahatma Gandhi. And Mahatma Gandhi actually was not happy with Pakistan and Bangladesh for the partition to take place. So in his own opinion, he felt, that is why he even offered Muhammad Ali Jinnah that you become the first Prime Minister of India, Muslim. You become. And you run. But Muhammad Ali Jinnah, he did not accept this, and he was adamant that no, we want Pakistan, and then on the other side you had Bangladesh, of course. But Mahatma Gandhi did not want this. And because Mahatma Gandhi had also a soft touch generally for the people that were out there, the RSS were not happy. The RSS were not happy. And a member of the RSS at that time, a young man, Natthu Ram, took it upon himself, and some of you might have even seen this documentary in the Bilra house where he was at that time. And with firearm, this man came and he shot straight in front. Mahatma Gandhi was in front and he shot him. 3 bullets went inside him and he died. And then there was a court case actually that why would Natthu Ram want to do this? So the Indian courts had suppressed this. They did not actually give any information as to his reasons why he did that. And the RSS were also under immense pressure. So they would want this man to say that, no, I was in the RSS, but then I left this organization and I went in a different organization. And the politics that is there, of course, because of the immense pressure that was put on if he was a member of the RSS and to kill somebody like Mahatma Gandhi. And the reason was that you find in other sources is that they were not happy because of his good connection with the Muslim community, and that he had said to the Muslims that we will offer you this position and that you are not to make Pakistan and you are not to make Bangladesh, and we will give you this position and that we will live in one country and do this. So they felt that this person is not promoting the Hindutva ideology. Not promoting the Hindutva ideology. And so what they did is that they killed him. What they did is that they killed him. So this Hindutva ideology, the second actually founder of this RSS is a man whose name is M.S. Golwalkar. M.S. Golwalkar. And not M.S. Dhoni, huh? Not M.S. Actually, I've heard M.S. Dhoni has been awarded now some military position also in Jammu and Kashmir. I don't know. You know, you get a lot of things that can be fake, but, I don't know, but I've seen him in that army suit, and he's also one of the top ranks in Kashmir, M.S. Dhoni, after retiring from Indian cricket. But this is M.S. Golwalkar. He wrote a book that is called We or Our Nationhood Defined. We or Our Nationhood Defined. It is a book written by him. Very, very slowly. You see, when you have an ideology, it's an idea, then that idea becomes an ideology. And from the top it is filtered. What is it? From the top it is filtered and it comes all the way down. Like fascism, an ideology. It is there. You will find also evolution, people who want to promote that. It comes from the top, all the way down. From the professional, it comes down until the common man. So much so that people are pressured that you can't even give your own opinion because it could go against the law of the country. So what had happened is that this man wrote this book, We or Our Nationhood Defined. So there is an excerpt from his book, which I just want to read. In it, this man writes, which is their ideology, and for them, whoever is the role model is written in this book. To keep up its purity and race, Germany shocked the world. What did he say? To keep up its purity and race, Germany shocked the world by her purging the Semitic races, the Jews. And then they say, a good lesson for us to learn. What are they saying in India? A good lesson for us to learn what Adolf Hitler did, the Aryan race, you know, to preserve the white race. And so, by the year 2000, you had 60,000 branches of RSS operating in India. How many? 60,000 and 4 million volunteers as soldiers preaching its doctrine. And so when you look at the facts, it will tell you that the biggest voluntary RSS, the RSS has the biggest voluntary organization in the world. The RSS is the biggest voluntary organization in the world. And the BJP is the biggest political party in the world. This is the biggest political party in the... That is why, whilst the Muslims were sleeping in India, he, Narendra Modi, won. How? By a clear victory because of the works that they were doing. And so this is how you will see that an ideology is actually implemented. And I was reading this article by this Indian journalist. His name is Sharanik Rao. Sharanik Rao. So he is a journalist and the chief of the Madras newspaper, a 233-year-old news brand. And so he writes for Foreign Policies. He says that in 2008, he entered the cycle competition expedition. And he says, whilst I was riding my bicycle, I stopped at Nagpur in India. So when I stopped at Nagpur in India, the epicenter for Hindu nationalism, he said, I saw this bizarre building in India, Nagpur, that was named as Hitler's den. Hitler's den. So he says, this journalist, I was shocked that in Nagpur, what would a building be known as Hitler's den with the swastika symbol, just like how the Nazis would have their own symbol. So he said, it is quite shocking. Hitler had killed 6 million Jews and who promoted Nazi ideology. 6 million Jews and who promoted Nazi ideology. In India, you have this Nazi ideology, but it is for the brown-skinned and for those who are Hindu and for those who are Hindu. And for those who are not Hindu, then they can have the same treatment what Adolf Hitler did to the Jews, the Semitic race that was there at that time. Allahu Akbar. And then he says, Mein Kampf. That is the Adolf Hitler autobiography. He says this book in India can be found everywhere, including Bombay Airport. And the professors in India were teaching that how a depressed man, Adolf Hitler, made it his goal to take over the world. And he said that there are 13 Indian publishing houses that are publishing these books into Hindi and Gujarati. In one publishing source, 25,000 copies have been sold just in 1 year. And another company, which is called Jayco, has sold 100,000 copies. How many? 100,000 copies. And promoting this ideology. In fact, in Ahmedabad, if you go, there is actually a brand name and a shop that is called Hitler. What is it? The shop's name is called Hitler. And this is actually what we are seeing, what we call extremism. That is why in Kashmir, which was once a paradise on earth, has become a zone of hell on earth. What is it? Kashmir was supposed to be Jannah, beautiful. It has become Jahannam. It is the most militarized zone in the world. The most militarized zone in the world. 700,000 Indian soldiers 24 hours there. Can you imagine that, my respected brothers and elders? And Modi is saying, no, no, you know, we will want to do good for the Kashmiri people. We are going to scrap Article 370. 370. And the other article also there, 35 or something. Why? 35 would mean that you can actually buy any land in Kashmir. And you can trade and you can buy land there. And so is this how you do it, that you violate the United Nations resolutions and turn a blind eye and you say to the world that it is our internal affair. It is our internal affair. It's not actually. It is something for us to wake up and for us to understand of this Hindutva ideology. Very slowly you will see azan. We don't want azan. We don't want this. We don't want that. We don't want this. And even the Muslims, you will be treated as secondary citizens in that country. And I did speak of the great contribution of the Muslims as freedom fighters. From 95,000 freedom fighters, 61,000 were Muslims. 61,000 were Muslims. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually save us, my respected brothers and elders. Now, you will actually find that if you look at the Muslim world today, a lot of people ask that, Maulana Sahab, what is happening with the Muslim world? What is happening with the Muslim world? Remember I said to you, was it on the day of Eid, Eidul Adha Bayan, that the Quran, like how we receive text messages and messages from your mobile phone, the Quran is a book of messages. And Hadith is also a book of messages that is given to us all the time. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has already mentioned this. I was reading the call of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an. He said that a time will come upon this ummah that nothing will remain of Islam but the name. Nothing will remain of Islam but the name. And nothing will remain of the Quran, as in the, to actually intake the Quran, to listen to the Quran, to understand the Quran, nothing will remain except for the letters that sometimes when you pick up the Quran, you see that this is the copy and this is the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he said that even when people come to the masjids, their hearts will be bereft from hidayat. They will be bereft from guidance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us. But why is this condition with the Muslim ummah? And so I want to read in front of you one hadith. So we also need to verify whether we are suffering from this disease that is mentioned by Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to his companions, يُوشِكُ الْأُمَمُ أَن تَدَاعَ عَلَيْكُمْ كَمَا تَدَاعَ الْأَكَلَةُ إِلَىٰ كَسْعَتِهَا فَقَالَ قَائِلٌ وَمِنْ كِلَّةٍ نَحْنُ يَوْمَئِذٍ قَالَ بَلْ أَنْتُمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ كَثِيرُونَ وَلَكِنَّكُمْ غُثَاءٌ كَغُثَاءِ السَّيْلِ. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that there will be people who will soon summon one another to attack you. Groups of people will be united to attack you, like how you will invite one another for sharing a platter, like how you would invite someone to sit with you on the table. People will invite one another that when they see the Muslims that look, you know what, let's label them as terrorists. And you know, we have a free go at them and let's wipe them out and kill them. So Sahaba said, O Nabi of Allah, will we be few in numbers at that time? Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no, no, no. You will nearly be 2 billion. How much? You are 2 billion. What is your statistics? In 6 billion, the Muslims are? 2 billion. Ye bole, 2 billion hai. How much?
2 billion.
2 billion. Not 1.8. 2 billion Muslims. 2 billion Muslims. So you will be too many. But Allah's Nabi said, You will be like the filth, the scum, the rubbish that is carried by flood water. Have you seen the tsunami that takes place and then all the dirt it also carries? So Allah's Nabi is saying that the condition of the people at that time, the iman will be like the filth. And so Allah's Nabi said, at that time Allah will remove from the hearts of your enemies your fear. Nobody will fear you. And Allah will insert in your hearts a disease that is called vahan. What is it called? Vahan. Now this is something that we need to verify. Has the Saudi king, what's his name? Muhammad Salman. Has he got vahan? I, the imam of this masjid, Allah save us, have I got vahan? You, the people that are here, have you got vahan? Imran Khan, has he got vahan? Or any Muslim for that matter, have you got vahan? Allah's Nabi said, the Muslims only will suffer from this. Sahaba said, Ya Rasulullah, what is vahan? What is vahan? Allah's Nabi said, حُبُّ الدُّنْيَا وَكَرَاهِيَةُ الْمَوْتِ Intense love of this world and hating death. He will hate death. He will dislike death. So death he will not like. Don't talk to him about, you know, doing jihad or anything of the sort. He don't want to hear all these things. He don't want to hear anything of the sort. He loves dunya. He loves the acquisition of wealth. Materialism is very, very important. Buying, selling, trading is more important for him. The wahan is a disease that will actually kill the iman of the people of iman at that time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us. And so that is actually what we are saying. And just to actually continue, that Yusuf alayhi salatu wa salam, subhanallah, what a great Nabi, when he is going to take on this position, he wanted to make sure that he clarifies to the people that he is fit for this position. And you know, he didn't say to the people that, you know what, look at me, how handsome am I, ma kitna khubsurat hu, therefore make me the chief minister. Look how handsome I am. No. He didn't say that. He didn't say, you know, I'm very handsome, I deserve this position. He said, inni hafizun alim, you know, I am going to look after your country. I am going to be looking after this. I am going to look after everything. I have the knowledge. This is what he said. And so, look how humble a Nabi is. وَمَا أُبَرِّئُ نَفْسِي إِنَّ النَّفْسَ لَأَمَّارَةٌ بِالسُّوءِ إِلَّا مَا رَحِمَ رَبِّي And so what he said thereafter, he said that, look, I don't exonerate myself. I don't absolve myself. Now, inadvertently, when Yusuf alayhi salam said, you know what, I won't come out from prison until you verify the truth, inadvertently, this is self-praise for him. What is it? It's something that people will want to praise him. But look at the humility of a Nabi. So he is saying, look, I gave you my reasons why I didn't want to come out from the prison. But I want to say something else. Look at the tawazu, the humility of a Nabi. He said, I don't exonerate myself from blame or absolve myself from being, you know, completely perfect. Not at all. وَمَا أُبَرِّئُ نَفْسِي And then he goes on to say, إِنَّ النَّفْسَ The human ego, the human soul, the human ego incites people towards guna, sins. Inna nafsa la ammaratun bissu. That the nafs incites a person all the time towards doing guna, towards doing sins. That is why even more worse than shaitan is your nafs. Why ulama say that it was the nafs of shaitan that stopped him from doing sajda. It was the nafs of shaitan that stopped him from doing sajda. So nafs is far more worse. So Yusuf alayhi salam is saying generally, It is that ego, that human nature, that nafs that is there, that incites a person towards guna. That is why you will find that when a person, when shaitan opens up for him the doors of guna, sins, at that moment he will be very happy. He will enjoy. He will be in that state of euphoria, enjoyment. You name it, you know, he will be very, very pleased. But after a few hours, if you look at his symptoms, he will be disturbed, he will be distressed, he will be depressed. And you see the condition of a person. You see somebody taking drugs, you see the aftermath, what happens to him. You see when a person is fornicating, you see the trouble he gets into, what happens eventually, what happens to him. So that enjoyment is only temporary. That enjoyment is only temporary. And it is what you call your nafse ammara. Your nafse ammara, that is the most corrupt nafs, soul, that is inside a person, that incites a person towards guna. That is why Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to Sahaba-i kiram ajma'in, there is one person who is a friend of yours, that every time you accommodate him, and every time you listen to him, and every time you try to please him, in return he is always against you. In return he is always against you. And then there is another friend that when you break away from him, when you make things tight for him, when you never listen to him, when you don't accommodate him, he is always there wanting to be with you and to assist you. So Allah's Nabi said that, you know, what do you think of these two friends of yours? Sahaba says, Ya Rasulallah, what kind of a friend is he? That the more we listen to him, the more of an enemy he becomes to us. Allah's Nabi said, that is your nafs. What is it? The more you listen to your nafs, you know, shaitan will put a carrot, it's dangling in front of you. This very beautiful woman is saying, you come here, you come here. And he succumbs to the temptation. Shaitan says to him, listen to, you know, the all sorts of things, you know, music and things like that, and do all the things that are haram. And what happens eventually, everything goes wrong for that individual. First of all, the noor from his face is wiped out. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us. And so that is why also Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, look at the humility of my Nabi, Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wa salam. Subhanallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing the humility of Yusuf alayhi salam. It comes in the hadith, when a person does good deed, and if he says that, look, you know what, I have done this good deed. Maine tahajjud ki namaz pari, I did it. The angels say, what did you do? Allah put it in your heart to do this good deed. Allah then gave you the strength to do this. Then Allah gave you the hidayah to carry out this deed. What did you do? This is all the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that is why, my respected brothers and elders, what we need to learn is we need to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all the time. So there are three types of nafs. Ulama have mentioned nafs is only one. And some have said, no, nafs are there are three types of nafs. But some have said that, no, it is only one nafs, but the levels are different. What is it? The worst nafs soul that a person can have is that nafs that incites him with guna, and he falls for his nafs, and he's always doing guna. And if you want to know of that, we have to see that, are we addicted to sins? Are we addicted to sins? And if we are addicted to sins, that means that there is a serious problem, that there is nafsi ammara inside us, which is always pushing us towards this side. The second level we need to push away from ammara to lawama, to lawama. This is also in the Quran. La uqsimu biyawm al-qiyamah. Allah says, I take an oath upon the day of qiyamah. Wa la uqsimu bin nafsil lawama. Lawama means the reproaching nafs, the reproaching soul. This is the middle category, where when he wants to do something wrong, his nafs will say, have you got no shame? It will reproach him, reprimand him. It will put remorse in his mind that, what did I do? I'm doing something wrong. And so he is confused. Shall I do it? Shall I not do it? That is called the reproaching nafs. What is it? The middle condition. A lot of the people, also the people of Iman, are at this position. So they fluctuate from the Lawama to the Ammara. Allah save us from being Ammara. And then the third position is the most elite, in which there is no disturbance to the heart, in which whatever happens to him, he is happy. Why? Because now he reaches that goal, that time, that he does not want to disobey Allah. He does not want to disobey Allah. And that nafs is called nafse mutmainna. What is it? The nafs that is content. The nafs which is content means that this person, his iman is very, very stable. Very, very stable. And whatever the condition that happens to him in this dunya, he is always happy because he is always connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah blesses with nafse mutmainna. So a person needs to strive, my respected brothers, all the time from nafse ammara and to move into nafse lawama. And not to stay at lawama, but from lawama, try to push himself to nafse mutmainna. That is why when a person works hard in this dunya, then at the time of death, the angels actually speak to him in his ears, Ya أَيَّتُهَا النَّفْسُ الْمُطْمَئِنَّةِ اِرْجِعِي إِلَىٰ رَبِّكِ رَاضِيَةً مَرْضِيَّةً فَادْخُلِي فِي عِبَادِي وَادْخُلِي جَنَّتِي. This basharat is given to those, mashallah, who have worked very hard and who have gone against their nafs, who have gone against their nafs. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq, my respected brothers. Look, things can be difficult, but if we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if we are adamant, if we understand that, no, this is what we want to do, even if we fall once, pick yourself up and to do it again, not to repeat as much as you can, inshallah you will see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will assist us. Allah Pak give us all the tawfiq. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين. So brothers, inshallah, for a few minutes, if you can just close your eyes and meditate and do muraqabah, the cleansing of the heart, and think that my heart is taking the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المرسلين سمعنا وأطعنا غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.